news and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Walking for Jesus program to this evening, the 4th of February Bible study for tonight. Oh, I got you. We're going to finish up tonight, hopefully. I get to talking, you know how that works. You know, I don't talk this much in my real life, actually. My real life is not in front of the radio thing. I like quiet, actually. But when I get on talking on the radio, it's got a lot to say, I guess. It's not just me. I just go with the flow. What does that mean? Let the Holy Spirit guide me. It's not me. Man, I don't have some of this knowledge. It's not me. I'm telling you. It's not me. People that know me know it's not me. This is not me for a long time ago. Completely 180. Go figure. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now. I got some really, actually kind of laughing because I'm looking at this stuff. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Lord, thank you tonight. Father, bring us together. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have for this Bible study that, Father, we gave to me 3 years ago. And Father, I thank you for how you worked it out. And I thank you, Lord, that you guided us this way. And I say yes, Lord, because there's others that's been following this broadcast and Bible study for a long time. And Lord, whether I reach 5 or 200 or 500, don't matter, Lord. It's up to you how you carry the word out. Lord, just guide me in the right path that I tell the truth, that Lord, that I won't make mistakes. And Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, listen to the prayers of all the others that you hear tonight. You know of them all. I don't know how you do it, Lord, but you do it. Father, we have faith in you. And sometimes our faith wavers because of this world that puts a barrier, a burden upon us. But Lord, we fill our minds with you. We see that, Lord, that You can guide us in subtle ways, in your time, not ours. Father, we pray for our veterans. We pray for our children. That both, Father, have been shot through these drugs that's been put in their system one way or another for lies and deception. I never mean possible that these Illuminati, that these false churches, that apostasy of the church is happening more and more every day. In these secret societies, Lord, we know what's going to happen to them, but Father, we need an awakening, and Father, to bring us to wisdom, discernment, to see through the lies, but be able to, Lord, witness to them. To make a difference, to clean out entire lodges, that, Lord, that through your spirit, that you will guide one or two or three of the secret society members that will witness to others, that they'll lose the membership in these squad, these lodges and organizations. Like in the days of old, Lord, that through our example, but Father, we know that tribulation's coming. We know it will come like a thief in the night. But Lord, prepare us to see the signs of these times through your holy word. We need healing, if it be thy will. But thank you, Lord, for the infirmities you give us, humble us, and keep us at your time. And it's your time and your call. And these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, look back, step back, get your notebooks out. Get ready to write. Today, somehow or another, my broadcast in between, well, not in between, you won't know in between, I do. At some point in time, about three quarters into it, my shoutcast thing cut off. And I went on for like 5 minutes, and y'all didn't hear me, but you heard one of the 24-hour loop that took place, and I've learned how to handle that. I have to open up another link, per se, of MP3, so I'll have part one, part two of yesterday, actually. Well, I found out where I stopped off, and it was quite a bit, actually, and so I'll take up off for that tomorrow. I don't know why it does that, but it does. Who knows why? All I know is it did. Well, I'm going to fix that. Tomorrow I'm going to take up where I left off. I got the exact name, what I was last talking about, and I'll just take up where I left off yesterday, today. I won't miss a thing. This isn't about Bible study, but you got to hear this. I mean, really, you got to hear this. I talked about today, and I'm not going to dwell on either one of these issues, but it's almost humorous. I mean, it's pathetic. Now, what's not pathetic is this report about scientists could use three people to create humans. Family, we're there. Man, if they're telling us this, it's already done. If they've got a, I don't know, I don't keep up with these things. They got a, I don't know what, 4G. I don't even have a clue. They got a new 4G phone. That may be 5 or 6G. I have no idea. So let's say the 4G is the new phone thing they've got. What they've really got is the 6G already ready to go about 20 years from now. You see, when they tell you in the news, newspapers, they're already past that point. Always, never exception. So if they're telling us this story, I'm going to tell you right quick, they've already done it. They're just letting you know in gradualism, gradual, like the frog in the cold water thing we've talked about. Man, we're there. Scientists could use three people to create humans. Britain moved Tuesday, it's yesterday, toward allowing scientists to create humans from the DNA of three people. Oh, now, let me tell you something. they've transplanted two wombs into women that didn't have one or had one or something, whatever happened, put one womb into another woman and had a baby with it. They got a man that had a baby. If the man wasn't a man, the man was a woman, but pretended to be a man. So the man had the mechanics or whatever of a woman's, but he's still a man. Boy, it's confusing. As in the days of Noah. So the man had a baby. Now, didn't they have a movie about that? It's Watson's nigger, whatever his name is, Nazi, and that little short Davino guy. Didn't Schwarzenegger have a baby or something? See, they set this thing up. Back about 20, 30 years ago, there was a science fiction movie where the human was stranded on a planet, and the enemy and him was fighting, and the both of them ended up on a planet, and the enemy was a reptilian, of course. They made friends, sort of, instead of killing each other. Make a long story short. Surviving together, the reptilian got pregnant. By himself. Okay, I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this. The whole idea of Satan, literally, in reality, not in movies, whatever, but reality, have a man become a woman become a man, and have one entity, one being that is androgynous. Now, watch this. Remember we talked about children? All week long. Do you all see the hairstyle? Of the new hairstyle. I forgot what you call it. Where one side of the woman has got hair like a woman, the glory of a woman, the hair long and all that. And on the other side, it's shaved. Okay. They don't even know what that's for. Now, the ones in the Wicca, they do. But the others just do it because it's a fashion statement or something. One side of the head is man, the other side of the head is woman. It's androgynous. That's what it represents. 90% of them don't even know it. The ones in the Wicca, they do. It's a celebration. It's a ritual of androgyny. That's how they do it, through the schools. A rebellion toward God. Man to become woman, woman to become man. What's good is evil, what's evil is good. As above, so below. As above means a second heaven. For below earth to be evil, as above, so below. The hexagram, Star of David, that's nothing to do with God. Hexagram means as above, so below, laid over each other. Man to become woman, woman to become man. That's what all that means. The average American population, man, don't have a clue. These churches out here are lost in space, man. And these preachers and rabbis and priests and popes, bishops, cardinals, disciples, whatever they call themselves, it don't matter, are messing up bad. They have no idea what they're doing. God is going to separate them like wheat and chaff, gold and gravel. Let me tell you what, they have no idea who they're messing with. And ignorance is no excuse whatsoever, especially if they're considered to be clergy of any kind. Well, no, I'm leading up to something. No. So already they're going to create humans out of 3 DNA. They've already cloned a pharaoh. They've cloned a pharaoh in 1985. They cloned a pharaoh. Clone to Pharaoh, 1985. Now, I keep track of this stuff. They use the entertainers, singers, songwriters, dancers, all this on TV, to entertain you. That's not what they're for. That's secondary. Primary purpose is to brainwash you. Let me show you how. Bruce Jenner. Y'all remember Bruce Jenner? He's transitioning into a woman now. He's finally happy. Oh, boy. You see how they do it? They use these entertainers, etc., etc., in sports, politics, the arts, finance, religion, philosophy, to brainwash the children of God. These articles are nothing more than my manipulation. Bruce Jenner is transitioning into a woman. Manziel from Cleveland Browns, I guarantee you he signed his name over. The ones you see on commercials, the ones you see regular basis selling stuff, they're the ones that signed their name over. They're Freemasons. They've signed their name over to Lucifer in blood, and you'll see them all the time. The ones you don't, they're playing the games. The NFL games are, certain ones are fixed, no doubt about that. The pageants are fixed. Now, I'm going to finish up here. I got somebody sent me an article. This is what I'm laughing at, sort of. Quote, and this is the 4th of February. Barbershop offers, quote, an old man haircut as discipline for unruly kids. The Benjamin Button special at Snellville, Virginia. I lived in Loganville near, it was Snellville, same place almost. One place, right? In Georgia, y'all. The Benjamin Button special is called at Snellville, Georgia. Shop makes kid look embarrassing like balding man senior. Well, number one, I take offense to that. I'm not balding. Gwinnett County, I used to live there. Barbershops come up with an unusual option to help parents keep unruly boys in line. Give them old man haircut. Are we as adults got so stupid that we got to fall into this manipulation? Freemasons, I guarantee it. Well, let me tell you the purpose of this article. Now, let's see what we got here. Watch this. All right, let me try before I say anything. And then we'll go with the course tonight, with the Bible study. This is going to be used to manipulate what? Public opinion toward the International Rights of the Child Treaty. That's what this is for. If you read the precepts, the concept of the International Rights of the Child, it's to prevent any unnecessary embarrassment, abuse, all this for children. Now, that would seem like a good thing, right? But the idea is for it to take control of your children. So they got to have justification for it. They failed to get it signed in 1989. So they need justification. So they come up with these ridiculous things like this. So that's probably the only one he's done. So the whole world can see it and say, oh, this is, and everybody will stop. They'll talk about this and they'll stop there and say, oh, that's terrible. As a black kid, too. That's terrible. Look what they're doing in Georgia. Well, they'll forget that this is really for manipulation leading to international rights of the child. Oh, there'll be more. There'll be more. Constantly. This is just one of many such programs and examples and so forth. That's how they do it. That's what that's for. This whole article is about that. And so people will read this and just say how awful that is that they would do this. We need to protect our kids better. That's the purpose of it. It's not for real. And they probably did it. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But it's for manipulation. That's what it's all about. And the news is all behind it. What I'd like to do, when I'm having a little trouble with my, it's slow right now, is find out how they put this thing out. How far they did it. And how many other newspapers they put out to it with, see. I don't have that right now. Got to have trouble with my internet. I don't know why this thing does this. So anyway, sometimes I think these internet things have a mind of their own. But that's what that's for. Now, what I'd like to do, if this thing ever straightens out here, is to figure out how many other networks they sent this article out. My guess is it's to a lot of them across the United States. For that one instant in Georgia, it'd be sent to everybody else. That's how they do it. It's like teaching. It's amazing how this thing locks up when you want to use it. It's just absolutely amazing. Swanee, I think sometimes these things have a mind of their own. I really do. Okay, well, I closed everything down. There we go. I just got rid of it. Anyway, tonight I want to talk about the apostasy of the church. And we may go to about 9:15, thereabouts. One thing that God put in front of my eyes tonight was a little reading about 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Break. That doesn't necessarily mean the seven trumpets of the tribulation either, by the way. The trump of God is different. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. Now, I'm going to do I got a study on that, and y'all remind me to do that. I call it translation, what that really means. What Enoch was translated, what that really entailed. The mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, be saved, born again, and this mortal shall have immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin. See, the Bible tells you what it is. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, he put that before me today, I guess for a reason, maybe. There's a little story that goes something like this. In September of the year 2000, there's a guy that attended the 100th anniversary celebration of a small Bible college in Ohio. When the school began in the year 1900, with a handful of students and very little money, there was few observers thought it would last. Well, a year after the doors opened, the founder died during a typhoid epidemic, and school's prospects appeared dim. So 100 years later, Some people wondered if the founder would have been surprised to find the school thriving, whether or not he thought the institution would last for 100 years. Everyone attending the celebration agreed that he expected the results to last forever. He knew that his work for God was of eternal value. You see, that's an assurance that you and I can share as we live for the Lord. At the conclusion of a stirring passage on immortality and our victory in Christ over death, which apparently we'll talk about tonight, Paul concluded by saying, quote, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You see, your labor in Christ is never worthless or futile. We can find encouragement to keep honoring and serving Him in all that we do. You know, J.B. Phillips summed it up quite well when he said, "Nothing you do for Him is ever lost or ever wasted. He'll do something with it going through you." DeHaan said, I quote, "Service done in Jesus' name lasts for all eternity, for God's Spirit does the work using folks like you and me." There's a song about that. God wants you to do something. Why are you letting all this happen? Won't you do something? Why are you letting these kids die in cancer and bone cancer? What are you doing about it? And the song goes something like this. I created you. You do it. I'll guide you. You see? There's a great apostasy in many churches coming. In Proverbs 19:27, that's something I like about Esord. You got to find the verses. It's right there. "Cease, my son, to hear the destruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness sorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. The ears of words of judgment and knowledge." Apostasy. The Bible tells us in the last days, just before Jesus comes, will be marked by great apostasy. The word apostasy means a falling away from the truth. This prophecy is being fulfilled as we speak. In many seminaries and Bible schools, the teachers and professors no longer believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. King James Bible is shoved around. And with no logic either. That's the amazing part. There's no logic to it. The other Bibles are missing verses. They're not there. They're gone. How do you argue that? Even in a Harvard course, you can't. They're not there, they're not there. And yet they still use it. These men make light of miracles, even have a course in miracles. They deny the virgin birth of Christ, deny that Jesus Christ is God in many cases. They destroy the faith of those they teach. And just like humanism in schools, it's designed for this purpose. Man, don't stay under these teachers. Start your own Bible study, two of you. Tithing, God will bring people to you. It's at the highest level that they deny the truth. That's where Proverbs 19:27 comes in. "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge." Tells you right there. There's a great apostasy in these churches. Many ministers today who claim to be servants of Christ no longer really preach the gospel. They used to in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and this started sliding away. Yeah, because the baby boomers they got hit hard in the 60s, so they could slack up. You see how it worked? The preachers then wouldn't make it in the 50s and 60s not teaching the truth. So by the 80s, the children of the baby boomers, they got hit by the 60s hard in the ways I talked about today and yesterday, have had their minds changed, and they've had another generation gap. They should never really be a generation gap, by the way. Y'all think about that for a minute. Technically, things are carried through from the Bible, principles, it's carried from father to son. So where's your generation gap? Come on now. There shouldn't be a generation gap. We've accepted it. We've said, well, you know, because it's been introduced, new things. That's right. Planned to take the old ways away and new ways brought in that are humanism, based on humanism, by design. Oh, it's so clever. So in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, it began. Billy Graham also changed his preaching. He says he's older now, 1993. He's more mellow. What's that got to do with the Word of God? Nothing. You change the Word of God because you're older? Really? No, because he is funded by the Rockefellers. He's a Freemason. He's trained in Jesuit College. He has a Jesuit certificate. Absolutely. All of them are conditioned for this changeover in the 1990s. Because they've controlled that baby boomer generation past the children and children of children of the baby boomers. They no longer preach that men are lost sinners. They need to be saved through faith in the blood of Christ. Instead, these men deny the necessity of the new birth, preach that God is the Father of all men, that all men are brothers. The Bible says, from such, turn away. Because it's not true. No need to be born again. We're all children of God. You know what they say? They're taught that. Now, they can make it up if they want to, but it's not right. It's wrong. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So, what are these signs of the blossoming fig trees that tell us? They tell us that Jesus is coming soon, that's one. When it says come, it doesn't mean the second advent. Luke 21:31. In Luke 21, so likewise ye, when ye shall see these things that come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So what's going to happen when he comes? Well, first of all, Jesus Christ will come secretly to take his church out of the world. And after he takes his church, it won't be secret anymore. In the twinkling of an eye, every believer will be caught up to meet the Lord. What does it mean, caught up? Translated, like Enoch was. If they're alive. How will the world be like when all the Christians are gone? It will be a world without decency and restraint. Evil and wickedness will abound as never before when that veil is removed. When the protective hedge is removed from each individual, will no longer be there. I don't think the people today that's not born again have any idea how much they're protected still. At this very time, an extraordinary man will appear on the earth. He'll possess great leadership abilities and marvelous type powers of supernatural nature. He'll even be able to call down fire from heaven. How that happens, I don't know, but it'll happen. The Bible says so. But his power will come from God, not come from God. His power will come from Satan, supernatural, or technology. Somehow it'll be caused by Satan, not God. And everybody will marvel at this individual. Be ready for that. I'm going to talk to you all about Sanand Emanuel, this false prophet laying the groundwork. He'll fit in there somewhere. The Bible calls the man the Antichrist. The word anti then means against. He's against God and against Christ. And although he comes with a white horse, which is mockery of Jesus Christ coming with white horse and a sword carrying, means comes for war. The Antichrist, however, will come with a bow. No mention of an arrow. Means he won't come with war at first. But through deceit and miraculous powers that we're conditioned by TV, the Flash, Superman, the Legion of Heroes, all that. That's what all it's about. To get conditioned. I need a hero, blah, 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 blah. All that. We think you get the words, he came in on a white horse, save me. No one will be able to buy or sell without the mark. Tattoo. Up in Finland, I believe Finland or Switzerland, one of those places, they are already starting to chip an employee's in a very large corporation, now required to get the chip. Well, come on now. After all, they got to test it, you know. But the testing part here is the requirement that you have to have it or lose your job. That's the big deal there. He'll also set up a great image and require people to worship him. And the image, and that image will talk. Those who refuse to do so will be killed, atheists, New Agers. But my belief is I don't believe in a God. Then you're going to die. But I'm not like the Christians. They don't matter. You will worship Lucifer, get the mark, and when you take the mark, you have to worship Lucifer. I don't believe in it. It don't matter. They'll say, take him out and kill him. That's what they'll do. They have chambers designed to disassemble molecules in a mess. Or they're way past the furnace and heat. Before they had to kill him, they'd take the bodies and throw them in a furnace and burn them. Not anymore. They put them in a big chamber like a microwave oven. Electromagnetic energy disassembles molecules and sends them out of vent. Then have sweepers come in, sweep up the fillings, the gold, the metal parts of their hip, or whatever, because it's designed for the frequency of flesh, like a microwave. They're in the deep underground military bases, brought in by trucks, and disassembled. He'll rule the world in 10 unions, 10 kings. So the Great Tribulation, this is the first part of the Antichrist's reign. There will be a time of great prosperity on the earth, of paying off debt, jubilee kind of thing. That'll last about 3.5 years, give or take. Then will come a time of great trouble, distress, as God pours out his wrath on a wicked and Christ-rejecting world, and that be us. You don't want to be here then. He'll call the Great Tribulation. The Bible says at this time there will be disturbances in the heavens. As in the sixth seal, the sun will turn black and the moon will turn blood red. They got people believing in four blood moons. There have been four blood moons every year since dawn of time. Anything that happened on any of the blood moons was strictly coincidence. Some cases they can plan it ahead of time and by dialectic orchestrate certain events. That's what's coming. Four blood moons is a myth. Can they create it? Oh yeah. It's not in the Bible. You won't find it anywhere. They can make things happen though using technology, supernatural interference. But the real sixth seal, God will cause the sun to turn black. Moon will turn blood red. On earth there'll be plagues, diseases, and earthquakes and famines. One third of the inhabitants of the world will be killed. So, I hate to give you that bleak projection, but I will tell you, you don't want to be here. So one might think that those have heard, rejected the gospel before would surely repent of their sins and turn to Christ during the Great Tribulation, but they won't. And those in 1,000 years, you'd think by now that at least with the culture of Jesus Christ at the head in Jerusalem, but in 1,000 years it should be no problem, right? Well, there's a problem. Because God releases Satan out of the abyss for a period of time to tempt the nations once more. Why would he do that? Because he was not present during the 1,000-year millennium reign. He will then be able to weave his manipulation and give all those mortals that period of time, that 1,000 years after Armageddon, to be tempted, to be pulled away, for them to make a decision. Knowledge over being saved and born again. Apparently, some will go with Satan. Because that will be the battle, the last battle of Gog and Magog before eternity begins. Three battles. Second seal, Islam, Zionism. Roman Empire rises. Second battle is Armageddon. End of the 7 years, tribulation. Once it's begun, 7 years later, Third World War has taken place, Armageddon. That means no humans are going to be left to fight. You won't have technology either. Oh. It's a transhumanized army. Nephilim against what they believe to be angels coming in the clouds. No, they're going to be turned to fight themselves like it did in the flood. Called the Battle of Armageddon. Third battle is after 3,000 years. After Armageddon, 1,000 years after Armageddon. Called Gog and Magog. World War II is about the same thing. Another form of Gog and Magog. So the battle coming up is a fake. Everybody want to come together. Prosperity period. Yay. When they say peace and safety. Boy, you better buckle up. Because a hammer is going to fall. You all know it, but many people won't. First Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, this is where it comes in. I knew that's going to come in today. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, let me say that again. And they shall not escape. Nowhere to go, no cave, no hidden Ozark, no special little place you can hide. It won't happen. It's not even possible. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of the light and the children of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they shall sleep in the night, there shall be drunken or drunken in the night. But let us who are the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Does that not match Ephesians 6? Sure does. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation for our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there tells you, you won't be here for the first trumpet. That's God's wrath. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Now you're not supposed to judge us. You're not. You're being warned. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, capital S, by the way. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is he. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read into the, in all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. Freemasons have a 5-point touch and they do the cheek thing. Oh, man, I just thought of that. Man, get out of the Masons. They're so mocking God, you do not want to be there. Family, be with somebody in a group, an organization that's mocking God. You might as well walk out in a storm and hold hands with somebody wearing a tinfoil hat. In a lightning storm, man, it's not a good idea. Not even a good idea at the time. Get out of there, man. Get out of there. Jesus is coming soon. From what you've seen in the lesson that I've talked about now for the past 3 or 4 days, we know it is coming soon. For non-believers, the coming of the Lord will be a time of terror and judgment. But for Christians, not associated with Christianity, but Christians who follow Jesus, the doctrine, the King James Bible. The coming of the Lord is associated with a word of hope. A blessed hope. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It's a comforting hope. Oh, but Agenda 21 is going to kill you all. We got Ebola running around here. We got Fukushima over there. Meteorite's going to hit the ocean, destroy everything. We got this, we got that, we got measles, you got arresting a 10-year-old, throw it to the ground. All this stuff, man, is to keep us busy, tied up in each other's throats. And it's working. The unbelieving people bury their dead with no hope of ever seeing them again. We've talked about that before. With Christians, it's not so. What did they say to Jesus when he came in Lazarus? You're going to see him again. But Lord, we know we're going to see him again in that time. What was Jesus talking about? He said, you're going to see him again, like here in a short while. See, they didn't even understand him. When he comes, loved ones who died trusting him will be raised from the dead. The bodies will. You shall be reunited with them forever. You'll remember them. They'll look different, but you'll still know them if they're born again. It's also a purifying hope. Those Christians, not associated with Christianity necessarily, but Christians who truly believe that the coming of the Lord is near, purifies himself. That is, he gets ready for his coming. He trims the lamp and brings the oil, ready to go. He knows that he will soon stand before the Lord Jesus to give an account of his life. What would that be? It'd be the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. The judgment seat of Christ. You'll be judged for what you've done after you were saved. What's he going to judge us on that day for? He'll judge us by how much of his word we've learned and obeyed. He'll judge us by our obedience or lack of obedience or to the Great Commission. Catholics say we should not go out in the Great Commission. You're not supposed to be out there saving people. All Calvinists believe that. Then you got the 5-point Calvinists and 1-point Calvinists. You see how the sect works? He shall call you before him and say, I committed the gospel to you. What did you do that others might be saved? He'll judge you by how you've used the time, abilities, and money. Believers will be found to be faithful. Some will. Servants will receive a great reward from the Lord. Others will be found unfaithful. Servants will be dealt with as such, but still saved by fire, but in shame because they didn't do anything with it. Some people will wish that they could live their lives over again, but will have only one life to live. What we do for the Lord, you got to do it now. So you say, what can I do for my Savior? Would be popping in your head about now. And do it before he comes. What are we created for? To glorify him, not ourselves. But look what I did. I climbed the mountain. Look what I did. I was the first or second one that climbed up the Niagara Falls and the Ice Falls or something. Look what I did. I was a member of the Super Bowl. See my ring? It's like, so what? It's all temporary. Did you do it to glorify God or did we glorify ourselves? If you truly believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon, some things you can do. Do the job at hand. God has a job for you now. Do it well. When God has something different, he'll show it to you. He'll come as an opportunity, an inspiration. Somehow you'll know. You'll grow in grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit will guide you there. You do it by prayer and Bible study and by serving the Lord. But you sure can't do it when you're missing verses. I still can't get over that. I cannot get over. You show the preacher, pastor, it's missing. The verse is not there. There's another one. 17 up to 237. 39.
I think it is.
Some of them, I think the NESB's got like missing 90. New King James Bible, the worst of all of them, missing 100,000 words. How do they justify that? Anyway, they show it to them. It just water off a duck's back. Prepare yourself to serve God and learn God's word. Memorize scripture. Keep your daily quiet time. Win others to the Lord Jesus. Deny yourself and live for the Lord Jesus and for others. This is a secret of fruitful life. The Lord Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. You maintain, that was John 12:24, and maintain Christian fellowship. It's hard to find a church these days. It really is. So, what's going to happen when he comes? Believers there'll be a great separation. The believers will be separated from the unbelievers. The believers will go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the unbelievers will be left behind. Luke 17:35-36. Two women shall be grinding together, the one will be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one taken and the other left. They try to tell you that the wicked will remain. Excuse me, the wicked's removed. I don't see where they get that. And this comes from a pastor or two I've talked to. Female pastor, specifically. And then a couple others said that the wicked's be removed. I said, what? Really? I said, okay, then what's the purpose of the trumpets in the first place? I never got an answer back. Christ will come suddenly. He'll come to take his believers with him. And down here, it'd be like shooting a fish in a barrel. He'll come suddenly and unexpectedly like a thief in the night. Nobody knows. You can't stand on a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever trib, because nobody knows. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, every believer will be called up to meet the Lord in the air. It includes both those who've died and those who are living. You find that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. And then the believers will be judged. The believers will go to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. There the believers will be judged for what they have done after they were saved. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's different. It's for believers only. Some will receive one or all of the five rewards of the crowns, because they were faithful serving the Lord Jesus. Others will be shamed because they did not live for the Lord, but they better get over it right quick. Marriage Supper of the Lamb. After the judgment of the believers, you got graduation. Sort of. So Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It'll take place. There's no way for us to describe how beautiful and wonderful that event's going to be. No way to comprehend it. It's impossible. You wonder about it. You say, well, is that really true? Well, my point here, you can do what you want. But for me, I either believe it or I don't. I can't pick and choose and cherry pick. Well, that just sounds like too much philosophy going on. Either believe it or you don't. You can't sit on the fence. I can't wrap my mind around it, but I'm very settled in knowing that I do not, as a human being, I do not have the dimensional capacity to even begin to comprehend what that means. So we're totally dependent upon the Bible to be true. But we really can't. You can't. The mind does not have that dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural. true believers will be the bride of Christ. Now, what about the unbelievers? Oh. Well. Well, the believers are in heaven. Married up with their bodies is taken out of the ground. Those that were asleep. Those alive will be translated. Did I say I have a teaching about translation? I do. I did say it, didn't I? So I will cover that in another Bible study, as I will also yoga. As I said before, Jacob's trouble, evil and wickedness will abound, and there will be terrible wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilence. The world's never seen such things as this coming. One-third of the inhabitants of the earth will be killed. It's known as the Great Tribulation. And at this period of time, the Antichrist will come to power of the revival of the Roman Empire, transition from Christianity to ancient mystery schools of religion. No more Christianity will go bye-bye. After all these miracles performed by the Antichrist through Satan, the Antichrist will gain control of the whole world. No one will be able to stand, be able to buy or sell without his mark. But you have to take it voluntarily. He'll demand that all men worship him and receive his mark. And those who refuse to worship the Antichrist will receive the mark, will be killed. John MacArthur, famed theologian, evangelist, says, oh, it's okay to take the mark. That if people didn't take the mark, wouldn't have anybody left. Well, he forgot that something about there's going to be martyrs. John MacArthur's a turncoat, just like Billy Graham is. I wrote him, too. I don't know if they didn't write me back, but told better go back to Bible college. Those who do accept the mark, worship him, will be spending all eternity with him in the lake of fire. That made me mad when he said that, MacArthur. See, Revelation 14, how do these people do this? I mean, what, they expect that nobody reads the Bible at all? How do they do this and have a conscience? I just don't understand it. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark on the forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. Hey, man, that's not good. That's bad. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image. Whosoever receives the mark of his name, they shall be in the lake of fire for about 1,000 years. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. The great white throne judgment is all. Oh. So that means he'll pull them out of their torment. They've already been there for 1,000 years or more. Well, on the day of the great white throne judgment, they'll be pulled out of hell. Just long enough to be judged. Can you imagine going through all that for 1,000 years? You will definitely be gnashing your teeth and like, Lord, I don't want to go back. But they're going back. The deeds looked at for the final judgment of the eternity will just land them a different position of hell. But either way, it's a separation of God. Those in the book of life will continue on in their eternal judgment. In the book of life, they'll live forever in a new heaven and a new earth. Christ will return to the earth in great power and glory. After the Armageddon. He'll destroy the Antichrist, his followers, which will be transhumanized, Nephilim. It's all going to be left anyway. and put an end to the time of tribulation in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, in the Old Testament, there was one angel. One angel. One. Just one. Killed over 100,000 Assyrians. One angel. Can you imagine what a whole bunch of them would do? Oh my goodness. When Jesus Christ comes back, he'll reign on his king on all the earth. And after the Antichrist destroyed Armageddon, Satan at the end of the Gog and Magog, the Lord Jesus will reign on earth for 1,000 years, then the believers will reign with him. And Revelation 5 verse 10 tells you what's going to happen. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. In Revelation 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, that which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived to reign with Christ 1,000 years. There it is. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's the first resurrection. So during that 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan will be bound, like I said, for 1,000 years. He'll not be able to tempt people or cause trouble or work those 7 rays I talked about. But people will still sin individually. They'll have free will. With free will comes sin, but not influenced. So after the 1,000 years, that's why Satan is released, to be able to give them the opportunity to make their choice. God's Son, Lord Jesus Christ, will rule the world in righteousness. Zechariah 14:9. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. Zechariah 14:9. Psalms 9:8. He shall judge the world in righteousness. Notice here it doesn't say intercessor at all. He's not lawyer anymore. There'll be no wars, no hunger, no disease, and all men will live together in peace and harmony. But you don't hear this taught anymore. You did back in the 70s. Not anymore, though. Even the animals will be chained so that the fierce ones will not attack the weaker ones. All children will be taught about the Lord. Everyone, from greatest to least, will know that Jesus Christ is King over all the earth. The Bible says in Isaiah 11, verse 9, says there in Isaiah 11, verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know, people don't want to hear this because they don't believe it. Humanists have done their job. That's why there's coming a great shaking. A slap in your face, if you will, to wake people up. Then, of course, I said, after 1,000 years, Satan's set free from his prison for a short time, and you know he's going to have wrath. He'll again go out and deceive many people, and once again, Satan and his followers will rebel against God and his Son. After all this, you still have rebellion. And this time, fire will come down from heaven and destroy them. Satan will be cast in the lake of fire, which is the final destination. He'll be there for eternity. There's no such thing as annihilation. Never again will Satan be able to cause trouble. Not possible. The transition from one dimension to another will be shut down. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 20 verse 10. The unbeliever will be judged. You see, after Satan's cast in the lake of fire, the wicked dead will be judged into the 1,000 years. The judgment of the wicked is called the judgment of the great white throne. And it is for the unbelievers. So that means it's for 1,000 years that are spent in hell of torment. The bodies of the unbelievers will be raised, and all of them, small and great, will stand before God. John wrote, and I quote Revelation 20, 11 to 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. From those faced the earth, and the heaven fled away, and they found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened. It's two books. Which is the book of life. That's believers. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. See, there, the Freemasons are telling people that they're okay because the great white throne, everybody goes before him there. And all the works are looked at. So if I mount up a whole lot of works under my belt, I'll be better than everybody else. That's why they're from the hospitals, help the widow's sons and all that sort of thing. But that's not the case. If they didn't make the judgment seat of Christ, they're in a whole lot of trouble. They'll get a better seat in hell than they did than the others. But that best seat in hell is the worst place you ever want to be for eternity. That's how it really works. Christ himself will be the judge at this judgment. The Bible says that the Father has committed all judgment unto his Son. Those who rejected Christ as their Savior must now meet him as their judge. The record books will be opened, and each one will be judged according to his deeds. Some believers will receive greater punishment than others. Luke 12, 47, 48. This is not taught in the churches today that I know of. Maybe a few, I don't know. But I haven't heard one yet. And the ones that do, they find themselves out of a job. Because the Freemasons watch and make sure they preach the humanistic, the watered down version. Luke 12, 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with a few stripes. Oh. For unto whosoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to him that's committed much of him, they will ask the more. tells you there'll be adjustment to it. God will create a new heaven, new earth then. After the judgment of the great white throne, the earth will be destroyed by fire, and God will create a new heaven, a new earth, where there'll be no more sin. The believers will be with the Lord in heaven forever. So those that were in the 1,000 years that followed God will now become immortal because they went through the temptations of Satan. And Satan failed to turn them over. So they will now be mortal. We know that Jesus is coming soon by the signs we've talked about now. He said that before his coming, there would be wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilence. In summary, he said there would be a great wickedness on the earth, and it's happening. You see it every day now, increasing. Like, what's wrong with these people? And many false prophets will come out, like finding new scrolls or new papyrus or new whatever in some deep, dark cavern, cave, trash pit, whatever, 2,500-year-olds just found recently. Oh, goodness gracious. He said that all Jews would again be there in their land and that they would again have control of Jerusalem. Matthew 24 we've talked about and Luke 21. So do y'all know when he's coming? If you don't, how can you write any books? You know when he's coming? No. Then how do you take a position? Well, it's pre-trib wrath. Pre-trib. There's no pre-trib. And you don't know. We have no idea when there's a tribulation. You have no idea. None of us do. So we can't declare it. We don't even know when the tribulation's coming. You see the signs. And the signs begin in the first seal. Daniel 9:27, confirming the peace covenant, peace of prosperity. You know 7 years from that date, Jesus is coming, but a lot's going to happen in between. So be ready, for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24:44. It will take place instantly. The coming of the Lord Jesus for his believers will be a sudden event. Worldwide. The Bible says it will take place in the twinkling of an eye. And boy, that's fast. Only those who are truly saved will be caught up with the Lord. The Bible says that only they that are Christ will be caught up to meet him in the air. Now, how can you be ready? It's not been taught either in a lot of churches. You must be saved. When he appears in the clouds to take his believers with him, it would be too late then to get ready. Just like the 10 virgins and the 5 that left. They came back. It's too late. You may have your name on a church roll, but if you have not been born again, you'll be left behind when Christ comes. You got to be watching for his return on a regular basis. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour that your Lord doth come. Matthew 24:42. We have to start obeying the word of God. Not let peer pressure get you down. Do what God tells you to do. If you have sin in your life, confess it and turn away from it. If you've wronged somebody, ask them to forgive you. Sometimes he'll let you clean up your past by causing you to meet somebody that you never thought you ever would, and he gives you an opportunity. If you ever have hatred or unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, he'll give you the opportunity to go to him and get it straight. I know this for a fact. Whatever God tells you to do, do it now. It's what it means to be watching for the Lord. And you've got to be abiding in Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 2:28. And to abide in Christ means to have constant fellowship with him. So you ask yourself, are you ready? That's the biggest question right there. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm truly sorry for my sins. I thank you for loving me and dying for my sins on the cross. I want to be ready when you come. Please come into my heart right now and be my Savior. Family, we're going to close now. Before I close, we'll remind you, we're played up in highportradio.net, highportradio.net, John Kirkler. And he plays my shows and Bible studies randomly up in highportradio.net and in three states, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Have a website, watchmanforjesus.com, and a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. Family's closing prayer. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And I'm going to really get down to nitty-gritty about what humanism really is. Role-playing. What to look for. And those kind of things. Lord, thank you tonight, Bible study. Father, thank you for this network you've given us. That we follow it. Father, it's dedicated to your service. Father, guide me. I need help. Father, put me on the right track. Give me strength, Lord, I help others. Lord, listen to prayers of all the others, too, as well, Father. We all pray for our situations, our thoughts, our what we got going on in our lives. Father, we know the end is coming clear, the end of this time and beginning of eternity. Father, give us that wisdom, discernment to see those days. Wisdom, discernment to read the scripture, opportunities to spread the gospel. We pray for our families. We pray for our veterans. We pray for the awakening, for others to come out, start preaching the gospel. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, y'all, we're at the end of the night. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, we're going to hit the ground running. Be ready. I'll put my go-fasters on. You know what go-faster is? That's tennis shoes. That's what that means, go-fasters. I can't get over this barbershop thing. It's so silly. I can't believe adults put this in books and, I mean, newspapers. And it's all about manipulation. You've got the pictures. It's ridiculous. They're playing games, and it makes me mad. Using children as pawns. You don't think God don't see this? They have no idea what they're doing. But they're going to find out. You don't use children that are innocent for pawns in adult games. I think it's pathetic. I wonder if they even know what they're doing and what it's for. Makes me wonder. Well, these games are going to stop when Jesus Christ lets it go. Satan is going to take wrath upon his Freemasons, upon these secret societies, upon the Illuminati themselves. All those that work for him will receive the wrath of Satan himself. And God will allow it. Psalms 34:21 tells you right there. And their own planning confirms it. They got it from both sides, man. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous will be desolate. It's going to happen. There is no stopping it once it begins. Y'all have a good night, and God bless y'all. And we shall see you tomorrow at 4. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, hit the ground running. Y'all have a good night, and God bless y'all. And we'll see you tomorrow. Good night, and God bless. Signing off. Good night.
Confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive.
Easter. I am with you every day.